shall follow you when? All the days of your life. Amen? Amen. Good morning, Shiloh. So glad to be here. I'm honored to be before you today. And as I was walking in, I was so impressed with the warmth and the love from the diaconate and from everyone I've witnessed, the deacons. Amen? So during this diaconate service, I want to thank God for just the privilege to stand before this sacred desk and preach a word from the Lord. Something that I hope will be encouraging to give people hope and strength for the journey, for the challenges and conditions in life. My wife is on her way. She had a little traffic difficulty, but I'm here. So happy to see my daughter Ajanae here, my college girl. Somebody said, she looked just like you. I send greetings for my pastor, Reverend Dr. W.C. Watson, and my Canaan Baptist Church of Christ family from Springfield, Mass. Before I begin, I want to say you have a gem in Bishop Watts. Amen. 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 Bishop, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for your mentorship, your encouragement, your friendship, how you teach the word of God with clarity, sincerity, and authenticity. I told Bishop when he said, I want you to come, I said, Bishop, I'm just satisfied with the invitation. He said, no, you coming, Doc, you coming. So I'm really honored to be here. And every time I leave the class with the bishop, just being in his presence, I'm encouraged and uplifted. So there's a story that I want to talk about. You know, I know I'm not going to take all day here, but a story goes where this man took a bowl of soup at a funeral home and he put it on a casket. And people are looking at him and say, why did you put that soup on the casket? And he said, well, that's his favorite soup. And they looked at him kind of strange and said, you know we can't eat that soup. And the man replied, look at all these flowers. And he can't smell these flowers either. But you still give flowers. So, Bishop, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you, and I want to give you your flowers. Amen. And say a heartfelt thank you. Amen. So, again, I see the diaconate here. God bless you. You look good, diaconate. You look good. Amen. So, I hope I have a word for you. I also see my professor. Is that Professor Carter? Oh, good to see you. We had a joyous time in class. Good to see you as well. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in the service. I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Why? Because he didn't have to. Let you live. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. By the power of grace divine, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Sovereign Almighty God, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. Let those who love the Lord shout amen. Amen. Amen and amen. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. There is a word from the Lord. If it is your custom, please stand and honor the word of God. Our scripture reading was read earlier, and I just want to just reiterate it. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, 11 through 12, the Amplified Version. Jesus returned to Capernaum. And a few days later, the news went out that he was at home. So many people gathered that there was no longer room for them, not even near the door. And Jesus was discussing with them the word of God. Then they came, bringing to him a paralyzed man who was being carried by four men. When they were unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Jesus. And when they had dug out an opening, they let down the mat on which the paralyzed man was lying. When Jesus saw their active faith springing from confidence in him, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 11, "I say to you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home." And he got up and immediately picked up the mat and went out before them, so that they were all astonished and they glorified and praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Let the people of God say amen, amen, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. The title of my message today is, "It's in God's hands." Can you say that with me? It's in God's hands. Hands, hands, hands. As we see in the text, we have a paralyzed man, and he had four friends. This man is paralyzed. We may not be paralyzed, but we all have stuff, issues, challenges, struggles, obstacles, conditions that we need the help of Almighty God. Everybody has to grapple with something. Everybody has a story to tell. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So from the text today, I want to talk about four hands that one may experience in life. One is hopeful hands, helpful hands, harmful hands, and then, thanks be to God, healing hands. Significance of hands. Hands are used for grasping, feeling, holding, caressing. We even express and communicate with our hands. Who are the people in your corner? Do they bring you up and encourage you? Do they make you feel better? Or do they make you feel bitter? Who is in your inner circle? Do they pray with you and for you? I understand a wonderful program last night focused on the power of prayer. Or do they pray on you, P-R-E-Y? Take advantage of you. Take your kindness for weakness. Do they point you to Christ? I believe that God is calling for us to identify, thank you, Diaconate, the people in your life. And it's important for us to know whose hands we're surrounded by and whose hands we are in. Somebody say, it's in God's hands.
It's in God's hands.
When we think about hands, one might think about law enforcement. Show me your hands. Put your hands up. For law enforcement, they want to identify and react to a threat. They want to alleviate any safety concerns. In other words, let me know your intentions. In personal relationships, in professional relationships, or any relationship, you want to know where the other person is coming from. I heard somebody say, "I can do bad all by myself." Show me your hand. In essence, they're saying, reveal to me your secrets. Can you be trusted? Is your word your bond? Or are you playing games with my heart? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. might even want to hide their hands in playing cards or in life so that others won't take advantage of you, manipulate you, or hurt you, or get an unfair advantage. We live in a mean world, a cruel world, where people will do whatever they can to get over on others. We know that people are quick to steal one's identity, one's finances, one's fame, one's fortune, one's reputation. Well, we find that people are willing to exploit both those young and old. I know about the Department of Children and Families, but do you know that there's a Department of Elder Protective Services? Physical abuse, not only of children, but of elders, sexual abuse, neglect with our elders, withholding food, medication, health care, dealing with abandonment. So we have to be very mindful of whose hands we're in. Amen? I don't know about you, but even thinking about children and our young people, it's hard to be a child today. The pressures. Imagine what's on TV, reality TV, and folks, 5, 6, 7-year-old being exposed to adult themes at a very young age. So it's very important that we know whose hands we're in. Amen? So one may be admonished to never show your hand and put a wall up, but those walls you can't give, nor can you receive love. So there's a term, there's a wolf in sheep's clothing. People may appear innocent, and they will exploit you and manipulate you and abuse you and take advantage of you, take you for granted. I love it. Michelle Obama says, when they go low, you go high. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. As a Christian, as soon as you step in the room, things should be better. Thank you, Diaconate, for your service, making a difference. Some would say, don't show your hands too early in personal or professional relationships until you're able to build a trusting relationship, recognizing you can't trust everybody, that you have to take the time to really get to know someone, really know someone. In the Bible, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, people might look at the outward appearance, but thanks be to God, God looks at the heart. Amen? So turning into our lesson here in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus returns to Capernaum. My wife came in, I got my help coming. Jesus returns to Capernaum, and a few days later, the news went out that he was at home. So many people gathered, there was no longer room for them, not even near the door. And Jesus was discussing with them the word of God. In these tough times we're living in, people need a word from the Lord to help them. Jesus can transform all lives. No matter what you are going through, personally, in your relationships, professionally, on your job, financially, in the community, as a people, as a nation, question, is there anything too hard for God? With human, things are impossible, but with God, all things. Somebody say, all things are possible. Our church should be filled to capacity as we lift up the name of Jesus. Being a part of the diaconate is not about the title. I'm Deacon so-and-so. I'm Deaconess. It's about service. Amen? can we be good stewards of what God has given us and be blessed to be a blessing? Service is the rent we pay for living on this earth. Amen? As diaconate, being a leader, holding up the arms of the bishop, the elders, the ministers, the church leaders, being helpful as the men in our story today of helping people get to Jesus. Not focus on their problems, but God Almighty, the problem solver. How can we, each and every one of us, be a peacemaker, not a peace breaker? In addressing any conflict, you carry two buckets. One bucket is gasoline to make things worse. You know, instigator. Someone would say, ooh, child. Ooh, girl. Man, did you hear that? But God wants us to focus on the gospel. The good news. The gospel, not the gossip. One bucket is gasoline. I heard the sister say, fire. The other bucket we have is water. How can we make things better? How do you respond to conflicts, not only in the church, but in your life? Do you focus on the problem, or do you point others to Christ and Almighty God, the problem solver? Amen? So as Christians, our life should reflect the light and love of Jesus. People will be drawn to you because they see that you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. People should see how Christ has made a difference in your life. People should say, I remember that brother when. I remember that sister when. Surely there must be a God. Because look at what God can do. Amen? So another question I had is, would people know that you are a follower of Christ if you never told them? Would people see a difference in your walk, in your talk, in your character, how you treat others, not just on Sunday, but all throughout the week? How you live. When I found that you can fool others, you can even fool yourself. You can say, I did this because they did this, but guess what? You guys looking at my notes. You can't fool God. You can't fool God. God knows. Verse number 3, then they came bringing to him a paralyzed man who was being carried by 4 men. As diaconate, you want to be helpful. These men carried him to Jesus. These were helpful hands. True friendship. People that have your back. Helpful hands. Provide aid, help, assistance. Walk the talk. We'll be there by your side. Has your back, praying for others. Aren't you glad that somebody prayed for you? Had you on their mind. Took the time to pray. Amen? Got another question. Are you taking the time to pray for others? These men not only had helpful hands, but they also had hopeful hands. Get me to Jesus. Point others to Christ. Not a pity party. Get me to Jesus. Not the bartender. Get me to Jesus. Not focus on the problems, but God, the problem solver. There is a bright side. Having an attitude of gratitude. In the scripture, it talks about healing the 10 lepers. Jesus asked, where are the other nine? God has been so good. God, if you don't do anything else, you've blessed me enough already. Hopeful hands, encouraging. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that the Lord will make a way somehow. Some will say somebody ought to do something. Hopeful hands looks at Isaiah and say, here am I, Lord, send me. We talked about helping hands. We talked about hopeful hands. Other hands that we want to talk about is harmful hands. People will be quick to say when you anger them, you don't know who you're messing with. Harmful hands will say, you want to catch these hands? You want to throw these hands? They want to get physical. They want to start a fight. Harmful hands, crabs in the barrel, pull others down instead of working together. So many issues going on in our community. We need to work together. Uplift our community, uplift our people. When we reminisce and we think about our ancestors, they seem to have so little, but they work together. Despite the adversity, despite the challenges, they built schools, they built churches, they built organizations. They surely had the presence of God in their lives. Now we look at our current generation. We seem to have so much technology, so many opportunities, so much access to education, resources, and we have to ask ourselves, are we being good stewards for what God has blessed us with? Are we working collaboratively together? Harmful hands. There is life and death in the power of a tongue. Some would say when you anger them, they say, I had to lay my religion down. I want to say, you better be careful in allowing people to take you there, because you don't want to lose your Christian witness. I found out the trouble so easy to get into, but so hard to get out of. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Diaconate. We are in this world, but not of this world. Not to go along, to get along. I think about one of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph. You know, Potiphar's wife said to him, nobody has to know. She said, if you won't tell, I won't tell. And Joseph responded, this is a man of integrity. He said, how could I do this wicked thing and sin against God? There it says in Genesis 39:9, no one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? We have to get to the point in life where we're not taking shortcuts. Living a life of integrity. Amen. Doing what is pleasing and acceptable to God. Verse number 4, when they were unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Jesus. And when they had dug out an opening, they let down the mat in which the paralyzed man was lying. I want to, from this text, have everyone reflect on this question. Who is in your inner circle? Who do you allow to get close to you? Do they want you to do and be better? Do they point you in the direction of Christ? Do they point you to God's way, to God's will? Again, not my will, Lord, but let thine will be done. Not my way, but let your way be done. Help me to follow you, O God, all the days of my life. These four men did not make excuses. They were not quick to give up. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus heals, that Jesus saves, that Jesus anoints, that Jesus gives favor, that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus will fix it. Don't you know that God can and God will straighten out what we're still trying to figure out? We talked about helpful hands. We talked about hopeful hands. We talked about harmful hands. And lastly, I want to talk about healing hands. Healing hands. Making things better. People who are genuine, authentic, sacrifices, not selfish, helping hands. Folks that will speak life and not death. These four individuals remind us of a very important question. Who do you turn to when life gets hard? Who are the most critical, most crucial people in your life? Who do you look up to that not only talks the talk, but walks the walk? Of living a God-centered life, of putting Christ first as the head of your life. Do they speak life or death to you? Do they point you to Jesus? As you look back over your life, who has been consistent? Who has been present? Who has made sacrifices to carry you over the rough patches and challenges of life? I'm so grateful for my grandma. Any grandmas in the house? I'm so grateful for my grandma. I'm not going to be before you long, but my grandmother, she was a slight woman, tiny frame, and I was about 8 years old, and I said to her, "Grandma, you're so small, and how come all your 10 children, how come they're big-boned? How come they're so big?" And this was her reply. She said, "They ate while I didn't." Who are the people who mentored you, inspired you, prayed for you, saw something in you that you didn't even see within yourself? Saw your potential, saw your strength, saw your gifts, saw your talents, that mentored, motivated, encouraged you to run on and see what the end will be. These people represent healing hands. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their act of faith springing forth, confidence in him, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I just want to say to you, keep the faith. Jesus is still asking us in 2023, where is your faith? Psalm 68:1 says, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." Focus not on your problems, but focus on God, who is the problem solver. Are you confident in God that God will make a way somehow? Verse 11, I say to you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. I'm so glad that Jesus has all the power. It's in his hands. God is Alpha and Omega, knows the beginning and the end. Thankful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen? Verse 12, he got up immediately, picked up the mat, and went out before them, so that they were all astonished, and they glorified, praise God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Despite what is going on in your life, with the strong, stormy winds and rocky waves of life, I just want you to know that God is able. Just look back over your life. It's been two words, but God. God has brought you through many dangers, toils, and snares. It's in God's hands. I don't know about you, but in our hands, we have limitations. We have to realize that we cannot do everything. We need to put our loved ones in God's hands. It's in God's hands. Some people, we just have to pray and trust God and give them over to God. Why? Because it's in God's hands. Truth be told, no matter how much we try to be hopeful, helpful, and provide healing, people are better off in God's hands than our hands. It's in God's hands. Know that God is able. God is able. It's in God's hands. David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. No, his seed begging bread. It's in God's hands. Bishop, elders, diaconate, leaders, children of God, thank you for your commitment in putting your life, your family, your service in faith in God. It's in God's hands. Despite the challenges, you keep on keeping on. All ministries of the church, deacon, deaconess, church leaders, church workers, choir, ushers, music, technology, youth, trustees, sisters, brothers, senior woman, senior man, young woman, young man, put it all in God's hands. Keep on keeping on. Realize your service, your loved ones are all in God's hands. It's in his hands, church. It's in God's hands. God has the whole world in his hand. In God's hands, these are the only hands that hold you, that will never let you down. Despite the challenges, the obstacles, the stuff, the issues of life, when something is out of your control, it's not out of God's control. Those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hands in everything. I'm gonna say that again. Those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hands in everything. As I close, I'm reminded of the hymn, trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever the years may bring, when your earthly friends forsake you, still more closely to him cling. Shiloh, everybody ought to hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand, you better hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand, you better build your hopes on things eternal. Hold. Somebody say ho. Somebody say ho to God's unchanging hand. God bless you, Shiloh. God bless you. God bless you real good. May God keep you. It's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. God bless you.
The doors of the church open.
God's unchanging hand.
If you need a church home, we'd love to have you come here today. Online, you can write us, connect with us. The phone number is there, 860-443-6046.
Hold to his hand.
God's sanctuary. Let's just thank God for this preacher one more time. I sat there thanking God for the word and thinking to myself, oh my God, if he's starting like this, where will he be in 4 or 5 years? Good googly buggly. This is just a blessing. He's growing in grace and in God's wisdom and knowledge. Amen. He put that together today. God bless him and God bless you. I want you to take a moment now to get your offering ready, your tithes, your capital offerings, whatever God laid upon your heart. Now, you get your offering. If you are giving by online through Cash App or Givelify, you can get that and put that on. Hold that on the screen a moment. Amen. I want to tell AV, I want to make those a little bit bigger. When I'm on my iPhone at home, those look real small to me. I want folk to see that $ Shiloh NL. Amen. People wonder why we DBA as Shiloh New London. And DBA stands for doing business as, because there's Shilohs everywhere. And so you could be given to a Shiloh and it not get to New London. I want to make sure it gets to New London. Amen, 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 amen. We love you. God bless you. Get your offering, whatever you have. I want to bless it. If you're giving by your device, hold your device in your hand. And then at the end of service, on your way out, please stop and see an usher and drop your gift in there. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our giving. Thank you for the people of God who have counted not robbery to return some of that which you have blessed them with. Cause their blessings to be in abundance. Let them never be in want or in lack, but let them be blessed and they're going in and they're coming out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's thank God for the offering, if you don't mind. Thank God for the ability to give.